In today's Gospel from John, we read the words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Hello again. Perhaps while looking at some sporting events, you have seen signs or tattoos on the athletes bearing this passage from today's Gospel, or simply the phrase John chapter 3, verse 16, posted on them. On such occasions, you may have wondered what this passage is all about. What's the big deal? Well, folks, for many commentators, this passage represents the essence of John's Gospel. A link to a beautiful rendition of this verse and chant may be found next to today's homily link. John chapter 3, verse 16 has been termed as the golden text of the Bible, the gospel in a nutshell, and every man's text. For many commentators, the verse is pivotal to the entire gospel of John, as it considers God's motive for sending Jesus. Moreover, the words eternal life serves as a dominant theme throughout the gospel, and its first appearance in the gospel is in this very verse. Many theologians consider this verse's purpose to be that of strengthening the faith of Christians rather than an evangelistic tool. That is to say, rather than containing commands or sacraments such as repentance and baptism. Instead, the emphasis of the verse is toward continuing belief for Christians. Bruce Falter, a Catholic priest, stated, quote, "The only explanation that we shall ever have of the gift of eternal life made possible for us and the redemption achieved in Christ is the incredible love of God for the world." John 3, verse 16, wording is deemed by biblical commentators to be straightforward, concise, and authoritative. The 25-word verse presents God as the Father, the first person in the Trinity. The word loved, known in Greek as agape, this concept does not have an equal word in English, but it can be translated as the selfless, non-sexual love of God for human and of humans for God. While some theologians have argued that world refers to only Israel, other theologians have generally agreed that it means the entire human race, showing God's unlimited and universal love for both believers and unbelievers. John 3:16 also contains the designation for Jesus as the only begotten, a key Christological title in the pre-modern versions of the English Bible, which has almost completely disappeared from most contemporary translations. The original Greek word monogenes has a complex etymological analysis, and there is no consensus among scholars on its exact development and meaning. The phrase only begotten is traceable to the Latin translation by St. Jerome in the 4th century. Jerome translated the Greek adjective monogenes into the Latin cognate unigenitus, which occurred in English translations as only begotten for almost 6 centuries. This phrase, only begotten, shows a deep relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And then there is the phrase eternal life. Jesus' mission was not only to obey the Father and be glorified for his own benefit, but first and foremost to generate belief in eternal life for the benefit of human beings. Theologian Carl Larsens wonders what generates eternal life. What is the decisive test and precise deed? Is it the incarnation? Is it Jesus' revelation as God? Is it his death on the cross or his resurrection? Or even the sending of the Holy Spirit? Or then again, perhaps the origins of our respective beliefs in Jesus as the Son of God is the way it was generated. How did the Son generate the promise of eternal life? Larson adds a unique perspective on this verse by considering John's gospel as having a plot that has a direction and a meaning. He sees the passage as denoting how God acts as a sender who gives his son, that is, the one who is sent, to prevent mortal humanity, that is, the world or the receiver, from perishing. Moreover, God's actions in sending his only begotten son suggests that God is inviting humanity to co-labor with him and his son in saving the world. This sense of co-laboring, by the way, is very present in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And so, friends, the next time you see the passage that begins, "And God so loved the world," or simply the words John 3, verse 16, realize that it is more than a slogan. It is perhaps the most important verse in John's Gospel, inviting us to believe in God's invitation, in his eternal love for us. The challenge, of course, is to receive this love by believing in this passage from John chapter 3, verse 16.